Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 27th study through the book of Deuteronomy. My name is Mike Moret, and let's begin with prayer. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word as we study it together. In Jesus' name, amen. God is speaking to the Israelites before they enter into the promised land, and he is giving them laws, directions for how he wants them to live there. And we pick up our study in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 9. God says, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations." And it is not that the Israelites could not learn just how evil the former inhabitants of that land really were. It's that the Israelites should not learn their ways in order to practice their ways. Verse 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire." Pass through the fire. Now, that is referring to a pagan ritual which was performed in honor of the ungodly so-called god Moloch. The heathens who were in that land before Israel arrived used to build two fires, and then they would cause their children to walk between those two fires in order to initiate them into the worship of the god so-called Moloch. Unfortunately, it didn't stop there, because often they would burn their children alive as an offering to that demon god. And God says, "I don't want you even going in the direction of doing something like that by causing your children to walk between the fires. Just don't even dabble in that ungodly stuff." Let's read 10 and 11 together. "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead." This is all witchcraft. This is all occult nonsense. It is very serious stuff, though, to God. And none of these things were to be done either in conjunction with the worship of God or in place of the worship of God. They were, and they still are, forbidden by the Lord. 12. "For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these things, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you." God says, this is one of the reasons I'm driving those people out of the land, because they were into all this terrible stuff. Anyone who would use any of these methods, these occult methods, to either gain knowledge about the present or try to gain knowledge about the future, or anybody who would use these things in an attempt to contact the dead, is doing a detestable thing to God. Someone says, "Well, I don't get it. What's the big deal? Why doesn't God want me to do these things? What's wrong with knowing the future? What's wrong? What's wrong with contacting my dead relative? Why doesn't he want me to do that?" Because it's not really happening. You are not contacting your dead relative. Oh, I know there are times when these people say they are in contact with a dead relative, and they even say things that only that dead relative will know, would have known. But you know what? Demons know an awful lot, and that is who they are in contact with. The demons work through all these things and these mediums, and they pretend to be your dead relative. Or, you know, they sometimes say things about the present that are accurate, or sometimes they talk about the future, and some of those things even come to pass. And what it is the devil using these things to lead people away from God and lead people away from Christ, and then it traps people spiritually. Verse 13. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Blameless does not mean sinless. Now, of course, that is the goal. Sinlessness is the goal. But the point here is this. Be sincere in your worship of God. And be sincere in your service to God. In other words, devote yourself to keeping God's law. 14. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. And so the former inhabitants, they were very, very religious. Don't get the idea that they were not religious. They were very religious because that is what the occult is. People may not realize it, but it is a religion. It has taken the place of God. Now, God's people were to petition the Lord in prayer for the things that they needed. And they were to be led by the written word that He inspired. They were not to mess around with the occult. Verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Now, that prophet actually refers to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But He is also a prophet because He delivered the Word of God to the Israelites. And that is what a prophet does. He delivers the Word of God. 16. According to all you desired of the Lord your God according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And you may remember, if you've been with me from the beginning, that the Israelites were nearly scared to death when they heard the audible voice of God giving them the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. They nearly keeled over. They were so afraid. And so they asked for the word to come to them indirectly through Moses, their prophet. And God agreed. He did it that way. And that is also what happened through Christ. You know, God could have just appeared in the sky and shouted the word of God to the people, but instead God became a man and spoke to His people through that man. 17. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. And this refers to when they were at Mount Sinai, and God thought it was a good idea to have a go-between between Him and His people and not give them the word of God directly. And it still works that way, you know. There still is a go-between, whether we read the written word of God, you know, that's coming through the apostles and the prophets who wrote it. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and he will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And that was Jesus. Boy, was that ever. Evidently, this promise of the Messiah as a prophet was first given to Moses on Mount Sinai, because that's what he infers here. It just wasn't related to the people publicly until right here. But the message was given to Moses while he was getting the law 40 years earlier. And Jesus did exactly what God predicted He would do here in verse 18. He didn't withhold any truth at all. He said everything God told him to say. He is a faithful prophet as well as a son of God. 19. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You better listen to Jesus. You better listen to the things that he says. And that is what God is saying. He says, if you don't, I'm going to require it of you. And boy, did that ever happen. Did that ever come to pass? In John 5:43, the Bible says that Jesus came in the Father's name, and Israel rejected both Christ, the person, and His message. And
God required it of them. God took vengeance on them just as the Lord said He would, for killing their king, for killing their Messiah. Jerusalem was demolished, and the Jews were scattered by the Romans in 70 AD, just as God suggested that it would happen that way. Now let's look at verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of another god, that prophet shall die. Boy, there's no messing around with, as far as God is concerned, when it comes to false prophets. If someone comes along and says, I am a prophet of God, but he isn't. And if he says, this is what God told me to tell you, but it isn't true. And there's a whole lot of that kind of garbage going on, especially in Pentecostal churches. Well, the Lord told me to tell you this. The Lord spoke to me and said this. You know what? These people are lucky they were not living in the Old Testament, or they'd be buried under a pile of rocks. And it's not any more right today to do it than it was back then. God hates it as much today as He did back then. And God says that person's to be executed. And also, someone who claimed to be a prophet of some other so-called God was to be executed. Listen, the Word of God is a serious thing. And putting words in God's mouth is not something that He takes lightly. That is why we should not add to the Word. We should not take away from the Word. Verse 21. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Well, and that's a good question. God says you're supposed to get rid of false prophets. Well, the question is, how do we know who's a false prophet? How do we know that the things that some self-proclaimed prophet says are not from God? How do we know that? Answer, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And so, there it is. If a so-called prophet misses on even one prediction, that man is not from God. And I heard a Pentecostal leader, saying, yeah, you can tell if somebody is a true prophet because 60% of their prophecies will come to pass. I'm thinking, what fairy tale did you get that from? That is nowhere to be found. 60%? Yeah, if he's got a 60% batting average, he's a real prophet. Well, that's not true. God says if he misses once, that's it. And God says, don't be afraid of him. That is, do not be afraid to rebuke him, and do not be afraid to punish him either. You know, a guy like that is bold enough to say, God said this, when God didn't say that. And so, you be bold enough to rebuke him and punish him. And we'll stop there for today. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you for joining me for Scripture Verse by Verse. Until next time, so long, everyone.